It wasn't easy being a disciple. Not before, not for the few years that Thomas had spent traveling all over the place with Jesus and the others. And it certainly wasn't easy now, when everything even seemed more dangerous, more risky than it had before. Thomas believed, really, he did, what Mary had told them. He wanted to believe. Really, he wanted to believe. Because how? How could it possibly all be over? No, it had not been easy before. And he had often thought, usually as he was trying to fall asleep outside on some hard patch of ground with his stomach empty and complaining within him, of what his life could have been like. It wouldn't have been a rich life. He wouldn't have been a wealthy man. It would not have been an exciting life, but it would have been steady, predictable, and his life then and now was anything, anything but predictable. But it was worth it. He did admit that because of Jesus, of course, Jesus, his words, his actions, the growing assurance that this man is the Messiah. This man really is who he says he is, who we believe him to be. He really is the one we've been waiting for. It was worth it. He wanted to believe that, even now. But it was not easy. Because now look at everything. Thomas and the others, they can barely move around town for fear of being caught. They can barely even speak to each other sometimes for fear of being doubted, for fear of someone else thinking that they doubt. And he couldn't remember, it seemed to him, the last time that he had seen the sun's light. It felt like he was just walking in darkness all the time. When he comes back to the house, to the rest of the disciples, to meet with the others so that they can continue answering that question, now what? There was such excitement still lingering in that room that at first he was afraid. What had happened? And then they told him. Now, hang on for a minute here. We are very used to hearing about the disciples and about the stories from the Gospels, and 2,000 years removed from it, it seems very cut and dried to us. The disciples saw Jesus. Thomas doubts. Thomas is of little faith. Jesus comes back. We sympathize with the other disciples, perhaps. We forget how irritated we would be if we were Thomas. And we forget who the disciples are and where they came from and everything in their lives that they gave up to do what it was that they did and then continued to do after the death and the resurrection of Christ. These are people who left everything and everyone to follow Jesus. And they thought that they had lost everything. Like Thomas, I think they all wanted to believe. But Thomas isn't there when Jesus appears to them. So can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're frightened anyway. You've gone out in the evening to run some errand, perhaps for yourself, perhaps for the group. You come back, everybody is completely fired up, and they say, "You missed it! Because Jesus was here, and you missed it." Really? Are you kidding me? Imagine how you would feel. I think part of Thomas's doubt in this story comes a little bit from being angry, from maybe being a little bit jealous that he wasn't there. I don't think it's out of the question at all for him to feel embarrassed, irritated, doubtful. It's not that he doesn't want to believe. He still wants to believe, but he missed it. One of the greatest reappearances, resurrection, the only one that matters, and he's not there to see it. So you can imagine that he says, that's great, but I would like to see this for myself. And to give the other disciples credit, there is nothing in Scripture that says they were angry with his reaction. Nothing. They didn't boot him out. They didn't say, oh, ye of little faith, you're no longer worthy to be called a disciple. I like to think they had sympathy for him. And he stuck around, and they stuck around, and a week later, we see that Jesus does not condemn him for his statement either, because Jesus returns. And he says the same thing to Thomas as he did to the other disciples. He says, peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. What Jesus has done with the disciples, he does with Thomas also. Gives them peace. Breathes upon them the true, real inspiration of the Holy Spirit to go forth as disciples. To say, this is your awesome, heavy, incredible responsibility to take on forgiveness. Do we understand how huge that is? For us to say, if I don't forgive you, we're both going to carry that with us for the rest of our lives? To be able to look at another human and say, I do forgive you. And neither one of us has to carry this anymore. That's a lot of work. It is not easy to be a disciple then or now. And Jesus comes not to condemn anyone for a lack of faith, but to affirm it, peace. And if you need the proof, here I am. And Thomas does not take him up on that. Thomas acknowledges him. And what Jesus says next can be misunderstood. He says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Blessed, though, in this context, when we see it used the way that it is in the Gospels, the opposite of this blessed is not cursed, just so you know. A closer translation for blessed is happy. Happy. And this is not the kind of transitory happiness that we feel strolling along the beach at sunset with a drink in our hands, although that's pretty happy too. We can ask Josh when he gets back. No, this is not momentary, temporary, transitory. This is deeply rooted happiness. The happiness of assurance that I can forgive and be forgiven. That my Lord is risen indeed. That I am a beloved disciple. Deeply happy, although we do not see a particular figure of Christ in our midst at this moment, we do. We do. We do see Christ in our midst, and Christ is present in our midst, happy. Happy are we who learn to see that. Scripture is a book of community. Scripture is a collection of encouragement and faith and divine inspiration that leads us towards greater and greater community. We are the risen body of Christ, present right now, with the wounds, with the scars, but risen and present, opening ourselves to questions, restoring faith among each other and in the rest of the world. And this morning, this is one of my favorite days ever. I've been looking forward to this for months. I look forward to it every time we have one, because we have three about to be new members of our family here this morning. Three infants that are in very good moods right now, and let's hope it stays that way, that will be baptized and brought even more deeply into our community of shared belief and support and proclamation. Because ultimately, our work together is the same as the work of the first disciples. To gather together like this, to ask each other and to ask God and to receive answers about now what? What would you like us to do? Where do we need to go? Who do we need to be for you and for each other? To see and acknowledge and adore the risen Christ. To be genuinely inspired by the breath of the Holy Spirit, and then to go forth and proclaim these things, which is not easy. It is not easy work to do. I cannot always do it. You, as individuals, cannot always do it. But I would bet. In fact, I know, because I have seen it happen for me, and I have seen it happen for other people. If I can't, you will help me. And if you can't, we will help you. Together is how this happens. Together, we work to continue the work of the gospel. And that is part of what baptism is all about. It's not just being brought to this new and wonderful life, although it is that. It's not just being marked as Christ's own forever, although it is that. But now your own is our own too. Our work is to teach and to learn from you, from your children, from your families, holding each other up. And I promise you, I promise all three of these babies and all of your families, we want to watch what happens. We want to watch what happens with you and with your children in this place and out of it as your family. We are so excited to see what happens for you, because we are so excited at different parts in our lives to see what has happened for us, because He is risen and He is here. We're overjoyed and excited. It's not easy. There are a lot of people who might not want to hear what we as disciples have to say. Worse, there are people who don't care what we have to say, or who think that we are ridiculous because of what we say. But happy are we. Happy are we who continue to spread this message and who speak in ways that make people understand, who speak in ways where God is speaking through us, saying, this is why we care and this is why you should. To allow God to speak through us in ways that say, I know what this sounds like. I know it sounds ridiculous, but happy am I. And I want you to be happy too, because of the amazing power of the risen Christ in our lives. Happy are we who stand together in this presence. Happy are we who are the presence of the working and acting and living body of Christ. And happy are we who lift each other up. So very happy are we who lift these three particular children up today. Amen.